I'm a real wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one.
Hey now, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's that time for show number 21. That's right, Dos Uno, Tony Granato, Jim Fahey, Scotty Nichol, TJ Gagliardi. Okay, sure, but it's show 21. Welcome in, kids of all ages. Do us a favor, if you're listening to us on any type of a podcast platform, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, it's all good. Just make sure you hit that subscribe button, leave us a, you know what? Go ahead, rip us on the comments if you want to. It doesn't matter. But make sure you follow us on Twitter, at Pucknologist. It's that time for show 21 here on Pucknology.net. As always, I'm your host, AJ Strong. And as always, on one side of San Jose, we have the one, the only, the lovely and talented Rocket Backhander.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Strap in and make yourselves comfortable for show 21. All right.
Comfy. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of San Jose, It's on the other side of the continent. We have the reasonable facsimile of Hockey Jerk. It is Ian Reed filling in. What's up, buddy?
Not much. Jim Fahey, man. That takes me back.
Right? So since our last time on the air, the Sharks have put themselves with a record of 42-21-7. That puts them at 91 points, 7-3 over their last 10. And right now the Sharks, again, still keeping that Pacific Division lead. First place, leading it by 7 points ahead of Anaheim, which, funnily enough, next game. 8 points ahead of Edmonton. 9 points over Calgary. Golly, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be a fun ride towards the end. Sharks have one game left versus Anaheim, two versus Edmonton, two versus Calgary. It's going to be a lot of fun to see these last couple of weeks of hockey. So when we last left you, the Sharks decided to play the best team in hockey, the Washington Capitals. Thornton was honored pregame in this one for nailing his 1,000th assist. No player has more assists than Jumbo since him showing up in San Jose. Can you even believe that? Over the last 12 years. That's pretty amazing. Logan Couture scores 2 power play goals during the intermission. The whole team goes into the dressing room going, what's a power play goal? Brent Burns has 3 assists for San Jose in this one. Yannick Hansen gets his first assist in teal. But the Sharks go 2-for-5 on the power play, but they were able to kill all 5 Caps power plays. So it just goes to show you that the Sharks do have special teams, but they show up from time to time. They're just not consistent. Bodker only getting 10:45 time on ice tonight. Actually, Haley is the only one that had less on this one. And I will start with our special guest, Ian Reed, versus the Capitals. How'd you like it? How'd you not like it? What it was?
No, I thought the game versus Capitals was great. You saw everything that you wanted to see, and you saw that the Sharks, when they have their stuff together, they can beat anyone in the league. It's just consistency is obviously an issue, but that's a topic for another game.
And the fact that they held Ovechkin to like damn near nothing in that game, you know, he loves to park on that circle. And like I said, the Caps had 5 power play opportunities that night, and Ovechkin didn't get it anywhere near the net that night. Rocket, what did you take from this one?
This was a game in which those 2-for-5 were still an important 2-for-5, and the penalty kill showed up. It did work and made it possible for this team to win. Arandella in net, I believe. It was Jones.
Yes.
Sorry. Jones and Ned had a good night. This was a solid performance from everybody on the team. I just feel like this is the kind of game, this is the kind of system that San Jose has been practicing for all year. I can't say that they specifically do that, but this is, they look like they were anticipating the Capitals and they handled them very well.
Absolutely. And it's not like there's a reason why the Washington Capitals are, shall I say, lovingly, oftenly referred to as Sharks West.
Might be good.
Yeah, or Sharks East. So it was, West, East. I get those confused from time to time.
Alternative directions.
Exactly. Either way, the Sharks got it done against the Caps, and it really was a fantastic game, especially from the special teams. Like I said, Couture getting both of the power play notches in this one. Oh, God, why can't we see that more often? So anyway, the Sharks move on because, remember, this is the beginnings of an incredible six-game longest homestand of the season. Six-game homestand. So they lay in wait for the Nashville Predators to come in. And what happened? The Nashville Predators came into the SAP Center and hang a big fat L on top of it. But, of course, you knew they were going to have a 25% chance better of winning because they went with Saros over Rene in goal, of course. But Paul Martin opens the scoring, and then the team decided they thought that that was all that they needed. Bodker, once again, only getting 10:22 of ice time, and again, only Haley had less. It makes you wonder what is going on, if Pete DeBoer has finally said, you know what, Doug Wilson, this whole Bodker signing was cute and all, but I've had enough. maybe that was it. Because it went viral, kids. It went viral. But during this game, Brendan Dillon and Watson from the Nashville Predators had the friendliest fight we have ever seen on the planet, Rocket.
Yeah. You know, I this was the first time I'd ever seen a conversation between two players in the penalty box area. Usually, you don't get that because they don't ever have microphones in there for very good reason. Salty language.
but wouldn't it be great if they did?
I think I would probably pay extra to watch that feed. Just saying, NHL. the level of sportsmanship I think Brendan Dillon exhibited in that situation is very typical for Brendan Dillon. It is his character off the ice. It is how he commences going about his business. This is one of the reasons why I just am so on Team Brendan Dillon and have been since I found out about him. He's got the best attitude out of anybody.
President of what?
Oh, my name is Rocket Backhander, and I am the president of the North American chapter of the Brendan Dillon fan club. And hey, me and his dad follow each other on Twitter. So,
hey now.
He's a lot of fun. Ed's a lot of fun.
Oh man, Ian, what did you what did you take from this Nashville game? Because holy crap, like it's just amazing to see the Sharks pretty much have their way with the quote unquote best team in hockey, and then all of a sudden Nashville shows up, who I think we can all agree on has not played to the level of their potential pretty much the entire season.
Yeah, you could say that about the Sharks too.
Oh, I'll give you that one. But Ian Reid, you angry Canadian, what did you like from, or I should say, what did you hate from this game, because you're very angry?
Yeah, this game really frustrated me. I think that the Sharks are going to play a lot of teams down the stretch here that are going to be, you know, desperate, and Nashville, of course, is one of those teams. But you can't just rest on that as your excuse. You know, if teams are good, you still have to take care of business, and you can't just be like, oh, well, you know, they were more desperate for the points. It's okay. It was a frustrating game. I can't even put my finger on something that really, really upset me. It was just an all around not happy.
All around not happy. And yeah. You know what, too? The thing being is that as we're recording this, St. Louis, who kind of went into a, a comatose vibe for a little bit. St. Louis only 2 points away from taking that spot away from Nashville, both with 70 games played. So
didn't St. Louis undergo a coaching change this year?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
That might be something to do with their renewed vigor, perhaps.
I guess we should say... Mike Yeo. Yeah, hi, yo.
I don't know.
Mike Yeo. But, hey, St. Louis, only 2 points away. So
I think it has more to do with Jake Allen remembering that he's an NHL goalie than I don't know how much. You know what I mean? Like, coaching is a good thing. Show me a good goalie, and I'll show you a good coach.
No, I feel that because that's the funny thing. It's like it's funny how Jake Allen and Brian Elliott both, like, at the same time remembered they were NHL goalies.
Right.
Maybe they were having a conversation with each other, and it was like that moment in Dude, Where's My Car? Where he's like, what's my tattoo say?
Wait, baseball, bro? No, hockey. Okay, sure. All right. I guess we'll do that now. Yeah. So the Sharks move on after Nashville gets the hell out of here. And hello, Dallas Stars. You want to talk about, like, the win that you can put in the books before the team even gets here. We all know how just abhorrent the Dallas Stars are, because that's going to happen when you put $10.5 million into your gold net. Dell gets the, I should say, predictable start in this one. But funnily enough, the Sharks start slow despite Marlowe scoring 3:56 into the first. Pavs had a sweet shorthanded goal in this one. Of course, the Sharks had the same amount of shorthanded goals this week as power play goals, so take to that what you will. But the best part was the Sharks chased Lettinen out of the net with Pavs' shorthanded goal. But the best part of that is the fact that you could see that after Pavelski scored that shorthanded goal, the Dallas Stars were kind of looking around for Nemo, and nobody could seem to find him. Even the cameraman was like, hold on, isn't he supposed to be sitting right here where the gate is, and he's not there, and... who knows what he was doing? So it took like the next TV timeout for somebody to be able to be finding Nemo. Hey now.
I'll just say this much. There's a La Victoria Saqueria just down the street on Santa Clara Street. Okay. That orange sauce takes some getting. It was the orange sauce. The infamous orange sauce.
Because I was going to go with, you know, the story is that in order to you know, kind of get on the ice, he also worked as a Zamboni guy when he was in Finland playing. So I think he was just swapping stories with the Zamboni driver. That was my opinion, right, on where he was.
So where do you grip that steering wheel, bro?
Right.
Do you use the standard 2 and 10, or do you use the 12?
Right, right. How much water are you putting down?
Hey now. Yeah, that was literally the funniest part. And starting from that, one of the best parts is anytime Dallas is in a game at this point, now you just go, who started first? It's pretty much anytime Dallas wins a game, you go, oh, who got the first start of that game?
Right.
Bodker gets 16 minutes of ice time. So I'm thinking, well, maybe that's the benefit of having a 4-1 lead halfway through the second. Somehow, though, after Logan kicked ass in the previous game, in this one, the Sharks go 0-for-5 on the power play against the worst penalty kill in the league. And if you know me at all, you know I love to beat on that power play drum. How you are going to go 0-for-5 against the worst kill in the league? Okay, get on with your bad self. Ian Reid versus the Stars. Bring it on.
Well, I mean, yeah, the power play is bad, and you want to get power play goals, but you still put 5 in the net. So games like that, it frustrates me a little bit less.
It frustrates me when you go 0-for, you put 5 in the net, but you went 0-for-5 on the power play. You could have easily put 7, 8, 9 in the net.
Sure, but I, you know, it's still the NHL. I mean, those high scoring, you know, games that go that high aren't the norm by any stretch of the imagination.
Gary Bettman's, you know,
right,
how much he's pissed off about
to his dismay. You know, they can't all be Columbus versus Montreal. It just, it is what it is. You know, I look at the Dallas Stars are bad. They should feel bad. Just, you know, getting that in for the absent hockey jerk.
Absolutely. And,
you know, the Sharks took care of business. They did exactly what they're supposed to do against a crummy team. And they, you know, and they took care of business. So I'm happy with this game. They did what they were supposed to do. I'm not going to complain about how they did it. They got the job done. That's all that matters. That's all that anyone's going to remember at the end of the day.
Yeah, Rocket. Let's say
there, you. Okay, so, yeah. There should be a drinking game associated with...
Nemo and Letman?
No. Let me finish, please.
Okay.
With how many times that puck just goes straight through the skater playing in the Dallas defensive position, because he's definitely not a defenseman, and it just goes straight through the neutral zone. Pachoo! They can't catch it. They never catch it. It's like they've never even practiced going after a puck at the blue line ever. They had, like, if it got out of the crease area and past the dots, it was gone. Gone! And I think that if you had had a drink for every time that situation had happened, you need to call yourself an Uber and probably tell one of your friends that you're taking an Uber, because I don't trust Uber. So, yeah, a lot of drinking. It was a difficult game to feel good or bad about, just because Dallas is such a tire fire that they are unfair to draw any sort of conclusion against. Do you know what I mean?
No, if there was a if you look at the Dallas Stars over the last couple of seasons, it really felt like, okay, we've decided that our game plan is to sign a bunch of fantastic talent up front.
Yeah.
I mean, just some sniper guys. The defense can be okay, and we're going to spend a ridiculous amount of money on mediocre suspect goalies, and somehow that's going to get us back to the cup final in the last seven, you know, for the second time in the last 17 years.
Well, here's the thing. I went to school in a very rural, sort of agricultural, I won't say rural, agricultural part of California. And there was a high school, not the one that I went to, but it was in the district that I was in, that was built in the late 70s. And it wasn't built with any walls. It was just a giant warehouse, and it had these partition walls that were erected every year, so all of the rooms were in a different spot. It was completely, the original envision of it was that you went in and you took whatever classes you want to take, and as long as in 4 years they all were required, you know, it was some really free thinking, and it didn't work out at all. It did not work out. It's a complete failure. So what they're stuck with is this giant warehouse of a high school with a bunch of crappy walls that don't really work as well as an actual legitimate high school, you know, would have, with doors and walls and stuff. So that this high school is a lot like the Dallas Stars system, in that it was a really, really forward, free thinking concept, you know, like, oh, we'll just have all the forward energy and we'll put really amazing guys in the net, and we just don't have to think about, you know, these other walls. Who needs doorknobs? Just as long as it all gets, you know, the numbers are there by the end of the season, it doesn't matter how many we win or lose at one time, it'll be great. And that, you know, it's pretty obvious that that didn't work out. I can see that. I mean, I have not been a fan of hockey for very long, and even I know that that's a bad idea. Unless they want to go one further. And while one of their goaltenders is in net, the other one skates as a defenseman and just sort of hangs out in the net next to him the entire time. So they've got four forwards, one defenseman, and then two goalies.
I just like the idea where it's just kind of walls. Where were we going? We don't need walls.
Yes. That's the Dallas Stars.
I think something important to say for Dallas, though, is that they really, you know, they let some really nice pieces go on their blue line, hoping that their what looks like an incredibly deep defensive pipeline was going to start, you know, being able to push their way into the NHL. And I think they overestimated maybe some of, like, they've got some really nice pieces on defense that are coming up through the system, but they weren't there yet. And it was just a miscalculation on Jim Neal's part.
Just weren't there by a scotch.
Right. They're coming. I think that they'll be okay. Once you put an actual, you know, goaltender that's not made of Swiss cheese back there, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, and for those of you who were playing the Pucknologist Bingo, I hope Justice Coach got you a square you looking for. After that, we move on to Buffalo, the team that has had the Sharks number, well, it feels like since the Sharks got traded for Joe Thornton, it seems like it's been way too long, but fortunately, the Sharks pull the 4-1 win out of this one. The Sharks get a goal taken away early on a goalie interference call by Burns. I don't know about you guys, and I will throw it over to you, Ian Reed, first. I actually thought this was a good call. Burns got in tight, and you know what? If it was the opposite, if the teams are wearing the opposite unis, I'd be pissed off as a Sharks fan if that was not called goalie interference. I thought it was a good call, although I'm sure Joe Pavelski against Nashville about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, almost a year ago would go, yeah, that's a goal.
Well, yeah, look, by the letter of the law, it's the right call. The problem is the application of said law. You know, that's the real issue here. There's no consistency in it. You know, like, you look at that goal and you don't know, like, I agree. It was goaltender interference. They called it back. That was the right call. But you don't know going into it what the end call is going to be. Like, you can't say it with any confidence. I can, you know, when these plays happen, I'll go on, you know, onto Twitter and I'll be like, well, I think that's probably a goal, or I think that's probably not a goal, but I'll never, you know, go, that's not a goal, because you don't know where the line is. You don't know what the standard is that night. And that's the big issue, is the standard changes regardless of who's reffing and what day of the week it is and where the moon is in the sky. It's garbage.
Oh my God. How cute is Ian Reed looking for consistency in the NHL? Jack Eichel scores not only for the Sabres, but for the Sharks in this one, which was really cool. Martin Jones started off a little bit slow very early on, but just seemed to get stronger as the game went on. And hey, Michael Haley records his first game-winning goal in this one. How about you, Rocket? Which goal did you like better by Jack Eichel in this one?
Oh, you know, I'm going to have to say the one that he helped Michael Haley score. That was, it was just a weird, it was weird. I was sitting at the other end of the ice when it happened, but I still saw the puck just sort of dribble in. And I knew it was good because nobody was, you know, interfering with the goalie. I kind of knew immediately that they had kind of scored in their own net, which was really, really good, because on the way to the tank, I was kind of hoping that they would. So I feel like the hockey gods listened to my prayers. And that's
it was fun. It feels like you get one of those kind of goals like once every 2 to 3 seasons. And it's so fun when it happens for you and so bad when it happens against you. It was a good one. I enjoyed that. And the fact that it was against Dallas, there's just something, I mean, you know, before realignment and everything kind of
Buffalo.
Or I'm sorry, against Buffalo. The fact that it was against Buffalo, the team that is, you know, known for Lindy Ruff screaming at the top of his lungs during the summer of 99, no goal. I just thought that was fantastic. It's a beautiful historical thing that we'll remember for quite some time. I think maybe it took a little bit of the pressure away from the whole jumbo defense meme that went around a few years back. So I love that. I'm going to definitely have to take a photo of that, put that on the Twitter machine. So after this, the Sharks then go a couple days later and host the St. Louis Blues. Lots of history here. Of course, the Sharks had to go through the Blues to, you know, I don't know, get pretty far, you know, I think in the playoffs last year. It could just be me, but, you know. Dell gets the rare start, but I think the start that we all thought and hoped he would get. Sharks go 0-for-2 on the power play, though, and they were 0-for-11 on the season. That's right, kids. The Sharks faced the Blues for the final time after 3 chances this year and went 0 on the power play. And then in this one, the Blues were playing the second of back-to-backs, 3 of 4 on their California Gauntlet road trip, and the Sharks absolutely looked like they were the road team in this one. The Sharks, 6 shots on goal in the first, 5 shots on goal in the second, and only 9 shots on goal in the third. Holy crap, Rocket. What does it take for the Sharks to beat the St. Louis Blues?
I think I asked this the other night, so I kind of know the answer, and it's going to take speed for the San Jose Sharks to beat the St. Louis Blues because they need more speed to give them more space to establish their forecheck. Otherwise, they're useless. Am I saying that right?
Yep. It feels okay. Good to me.
So, yeah, that's I learned something. So, yeah, they're going to need to be fast because they're already heavy enough. They're already physical enough. They already can match St. Louis, if not better than in all those other areas. But they need to set up their game in order to play it. So they need more time. So they need to be fast.
Yeah, this one was horrible. Even Kevin Kurz from CSN tweeted out at one point that with 8 minutes left in this game, there had been, I believe, 5 shots on goal taken by the top 2 lines.
Oh, yeah.
That's ridiculous, Ian.
Yeah, top to bottom, it wasn't a good effort by the Sharks. And I know that, you know, some people get angry when we say it, but they just didn't look good. They weren't together. They tore apart the lines a little bit. They tried putting Hurdle back up on the top line. They moved Hansen to the third line, you know, jumbled everything up, and nothing took. And that's just really what it was. Nothing was working for the Sharks last night. Other than Aaron Dell, I thought to a man, they looked awful. Aaron Dell obviously is going to take crap for not beating a playoff team, but Aaron Dell wasn't exactly getting scoring support, let alone shot support,
right,
last night. So I don't know what more he's supposed to do other than just skate the puck up the ice. But the second he crosses the blue line, that's a penalty. So I don't know what to tell you.
Skate it out to center ice and fling it in the net from there.
He'd have to shoot from our blue line because if he, or maybe the center ice. Yeah, there's a point where if he goes across, he's taking a penalty. It might be center ice. So,
hey man, did you see that video of Owen Nolan like 16 years ago scoring from center ice? Yeah, Dell, if you could just like do that, that would like really help us out. You know, the funny part being that Hansen and Burns are the only guys that were -2 in this game. So yeah, it lots of fun. The one thing that did piss me off though is that Tarasenko getting the last 2 goals in this game.
Beat out Pavelski for that EA video game for a reason.
That was my point.
Sorry.
The Sharks just have to. I would hope that if these teams, because I know a lot of panic right now, you know. In the Teal City, people are worried like, oh my god, we might play St. Louis in the first round. What do we do? Oh my god. If the Sharks have to play the Blues in the playoffs, they're going to come out and play. There's going to be something on the line. And you would hope that they would come out and look better than they have against them in the regular season. Now, that's not a given, but I would hope that would be the case. Like, I hope that this team has another gear going into the playoffs, or it's going to be a very short playoff run.
Indeed.
Period. Doesn't matter who they're playing.
Absolutely. And just, you know, obviously Vladimir Tarasenko, Russian, Joe Pavelski, USA. Don't want to get into anything political, but just, you know.
You think it was hacked? You think they hacked the EA vote?
No, I think somebody with their PS3 game controller, they hacked Tarasenko. They like built him up.
I think the Russians hacked it. I think that is where the Russians started. I think they started with the EA cover vote.
Yeah.
Just for test, right? Just to make sure that they had all their stuff in order. And then they hacked other things.
Yep. That was the test.
I wonder if there was a FIFA event that was hacked as well.
Hashtag other things.
I'm not going to go into other things here. This isn't an other things show.
Oh, dear Lord. So that was the week it was when it comes to Sharks games. So we move over to Shark Bites. And Pavelski gets the first star of the week. Pavelski recorded 6 points in 4 games, including a league-best 5 goals. Got a game winner against Winnipeg, shorthander against Dallas. And, hey, you know what? You're the captain. Dude, have yourself a week. We love that. If you could do that just a little bit more, hey, that would be awesome. But man, it does go to point out the fact that Pavelski is on this top line, and with the year that Pavelski has had, and it hasn't been like stellar, it hasn't been awful. It's basically been exactly where we kind of, as Sharks fans, expect Pavelski to be. And if anything, I think it kind of, Ian, highlights the fact that Thornton has been a little bit of a disappointment this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's slowed down a little bit. I don't think he's, I think disappointment's a little
extreme. I don't want to say disappointment. Maybe tired out from the WCH before the season?
Yeah, possibly. I think that probably plays a factor. And
I mean, dude's played a lot of hockey in the last 16 months.
He has played a lot of hockey in 16 months. I think that, you know, other things too is like,
it's the beard. It's weighing him down, right?
The beard's weighing him down. And the genie's out of the bottle. People know, like, this is a team that went to the Stanley Cup final last year. You get extra, you know, people are going to look extra into what makes your team work and what doesn't work. And, you know, how do you shut this down? We watched what Pittsburgh did to the Sharks. There's other teams that are obviously going to try and emulate that to try and get, you know, him down. And even though that Joe Thornton's, you know, 37 years old now, I would assume, you know, he's a guy that still, you know, he still has a lot of hockey left in him, I think, but he's not, you know, he's not 28 anymore.
No.
I wouldn't say disappointment, because I think when you look at other players his age and their production, I mean, he's still significantly above that.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And you want to talk about players that are significantly playing over their heads, or I should say over their contracts. Marc-Edouard Vlasic. Via Elliot Friedman this week, Vlasic can hit the market July 1st, 2018. He will be 31 and one of the best defensemen in the league. Let's not, shall we say, split hairs. Marc-Edouard Vlasic, one of the best shutdown defense. He's not going to dazzle you with goal. He's not going to be that Brent Burns kind of guy. He's going to be the guy who shuts down the opposition's Brent Burns. You know what I'm saying? So yep. The Sharks are well aware of this.
If you want
to
talk about, you know, we talked about, I want to say which game were we talking about? The Capitals game. We're talking about Alexander Ovechkin not being on the board. Thanks, Vlasic.
Exactly. And Marc-Edouard Vlasic in this piece was quoted as saying, I love it here. I'm not really a guy who wants to play for three or four teams. I like the city. I like the organization. We're always competitive. Hey, what's not to like? I'd like to play my whole career in San Jose. So I will start with you, Ian, because I know you are a bit of a cap geek. In fact, sure. coming up soon, IanReedsCapGeek.com. Yes. We all know that Vlasic's deal expires next year, and the Sharks have had him for an absolute song over the last 5 years.
Criminally underrated.
Absolutely. So what do you give to a 31-year-old Vlasic when his deal's up, when you can extend him, and how much when you consider that there's a lot of deals expiring? Jones, Hurdle. What are you going to do?
Oh, that is the $7 million question, I think. I think you give him whatever the hell he wants, within reason, obviously. I think if you're paying Burns $8 million, I don't think Vlasic, you can pay a shutdown guy that kind of money, but I wouldn't be shocked if he walked away with $7 million a year, and he'd be worth every penny of it. So I think now, what does that do up top? That's a lot of money on your blue line. So it's going to make things interesting for sure. But
how long is that deal for? At 31.
Well, I think if you get the cap to go AAV at $7 million, you know, you can drop it down to a little bit. And obviously, you can't do what like they used to do with the million-dollar years at the end. But you can give them the. You know, you can get it so that he's getting paid 7x7, you know, cap hit wise. Maybe he gets a little more front loaded money if Hasso wants to go that way, which I think he will. Hasso's been pretty good about putting money up for players. We've been a cap team for ever since he's been here. So I don't think that's going to change. So I think, yeah, you probably get him in around seven. and you front load it a little bit, then you decrease it near the end. But at the end of the day, the cap it'll still be 7.
Clearly, he's Rocket. I want to know: do you think that in discussing with Elliot Friedman, do you think maybe he put his cards on the table by saying that I want to play my whole career in San Jose? That maybe that gives Doug Wilson a little bit of, I don't know, I guess I would say negotiating power in that you've made it clear that you want to stay here.
No, I think that just puts the onus on the, well, no, it doesn't put onus on it. If you come out with a declaration of, well, if I leave, it's not because I wanted to leave, then you're never going to look like the bad guy. Okay. So
not everybody needs to look like El Bedfar.
Yeah.
No, but she's, you know, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, Rocket, but I mean, she's okay. Really onto something there. Like, it's one thing to say you want to be here and whatever, but it's another thing to sign on the dotted line.
And here's the other part of that is that I, you know, during the bye week, I got very bored and started like looking at websites that tell you how much each player would make for each team with the same contract, given the tax rates in the different states. Taxes in California are outrageous, outrageous. So like, I don't feel too bad with these inflated numbers if they say they're going to stay here, because a lot of that is going back to the state. Like a lot of it, more than it would at another place. So if they get signed on for, you know, a big fat contract and they go to a different team, they're going to make more money with that team because they're paying less in taxes. It's just kind of some weird stuff that you don't think about like as a fan, but as a player and like as business management, this is something that I think comes into very broad consideration. So for it is what it is.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder if Edward Vlasic tipped his hand just a what? I think just a scotch. A scotch.
I don't think so.
He may have, but really though, at the end of the day, look at Mark Edward Vlasic. You know, he comes out and he says he wants to say, if you can't meet his price at that point, then you're the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's be honest, where are you going to ever see the player that is interviewed and says, you know what? I'd really like to get the hell out of here.
That happens all the time.
You don't see that very often.
Not where coming up into a negotiation.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Not coming into. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe like, at the trade deadline where, right. like, these Colorado Avalanche guys, they kind of suck. Please get me out of here, please.
Exactly.
Yeah, like not everybody is Jerome McGinley. It was just like, oh, my God, get me the hell out of here. And the fact that like Shane Doan in Arizona, when Hansel left, he was quoted as being, well, I don't want to say quoted, but clearly when you look at the interviews that Doan had after Hansel was gone, he was very Canadian in his response is that I'm mildly upset about this.
Right.
So, I can't see Vlasic. I mean, honestly, what are you going to do in that situation other than saying, I love this city and I love it? Because as I stated at the outset, that's exactly what Ed Belfour stated to the press when, oh, I love San Jose. And then as soon as as soon as it was available for him to move, boom, he was gone. So
right.
It's tough to travel with dogs.
that's true. That's very true. And Santa Cruz, very nice place to take your dogs. So either way, that's where we go. So moving on to the last point, and this is just a quickie.
Can I just add one more thing before
that? Absolutely. That's why sure. I just wanted to add
what I was saying before was that another thing too with Vlasic, the only reason I don't really have a problem with him being extended that long is because his game isn't a game that where his body's going to break down over time, where there's a big risk. Like he plays a pretty, for a guy who's so good at shutting down players, he plays a pretty simple game.
I'll agree with that, of course, but we did see what happened to the Sharks when he was actually knocked out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
True. So it happens. I do think goes to point how solid he is, even if he is not the guy who's on NHL highlights every week. It just goes to point how solid he is in his position and what he brings to the Sharks.
I mean, there's possibly injury concerns there.
There are, But I think when you look at the 25-year history of the Sharks, I think everybody's going to say, like, best draft pick that the Sharks have ever made. I think when you look at where they were taken and what they've brought to the team, I don't think there's a question that Joe Pavelski is going to be at the top of that list, but I don't think that there's going to be a question that Vlasic might be second on that list for what he brings and the fact that it's just kind of like, hey, Kiprasov, thank you.
Like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he'd definitely be top five for me.
Yeah, exactly. So finally with Shark Bites, and this is just a funny one. This is we should just say a big hi, how you doing, hi-dio, hello to the Sharks franchise, or at least the person who is running their Twitter account, because last week, if you listen to the show, and I will say at the 1835 mark, the 1835 mark of last week on episode 20, we pointed out that Aaron Dell was leading the league in save percentage and goals against. Of course, minimum 10 starts was the kind of how we balanced that equation out. But we were kind of, you know, we did like a good minute or two on that. And then funnily enough, like a day or two later, the Sharks tweeting that out, pointing it out in their pregame. So don't say that you don't listen to us, Sharks. We see you.
We know.
So
your microwave tells us everything.
Exactly. It's that dang, they get you, man. It's the dang microwave, man.
They get hey, look, it's the only thing in your house you can't put tinfoil in.
This is all coincidence?
I don't think so.
I don't think either. That makes way too much sense.
Oh my god. Absolutely. So we better move on before the NSA breaks into one of our houses. So we go on to three stars of the week, or what we call,
oh, good for you.
And, you know, the jerk is out tonight, so we go to the reasonable facsimile for his third star.
My third star is, you know, get this, record this, have it in your book forever. Right, Michael right. Haley.
Hey now.
Oh.
You know what? I feel like there's a lot of Michael Haley hate out there, and I understand it. And look, I am not a Michael Haley guy. I'm a Michael Haley acceptance. I'm in the acceptance crowd. I've already, you know, I've gone through the other phases. I was angry. I was questioning. You know, now I've accepted things. He gets a lot of crap. And you know what? Like, the one thing that stood out to me, especially in a couple of those losses, was that fourth line. Even in the wins, the fourth line was good. And it's not like Haley is a passenger on that line. Like, he has a role on that line. He plays. He's not terrible. Is he the best hockey player that we could put on the fourth line? No, but he's not terrible. And that fourth line has been good, and it's not in spite of him. So Michael Haley, you deserve a little bit of respect, so you get my third star.
Excuse me while I pile on. I'm not even kidding. I have my three stars written out for this week, and as my third star, Michael Haley. Had it written down.
Wow.
Damn it. Hey, you know, the guy gets a game winner over the course since we were last off air. The guy gets a game winner. And for as much BS as he seems to take on Twitter, I think it's all for naught. The guy is not Mike Brown, okay?
He is
not dragging down the fourth line center, whoever that may be. He is contributing to the program. Michael Haley... I'm a little worked up by this, because when you think about it, when you talk about value for dollar, when you look at the San Jose Sharks roster this season and you see what they're getting, what each player, obviously Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau are going to be at the upper echelon of that scale, and Michael Haley's going to be at the bottom. But when you look at value for dollar, Michael Haley brings it every night. I don't care if they misspell his first name. The dude brings it every night. Value for dollar. Haley, you're my third star this week, buddy. Dig you. Rock it. You're third.
Just so you know, I have all my picks written down as well, and I wrote them down after the Buffalo game. directly after. So my third star is going to the hashtag Sabres After Dark.
Oh, yes.
Well done. Thank well you. Done.
If you are a Buffalo Sabres fan and you live on the East Coast, a lot of times when you play teams on the West Coast, they're very, very late at night. So after the game, it's definitely after dark. The Buffalo Sabres don't have any social media program, interactive, whatever. It's just a hashtag that they all use to commiserate via Twitter. There's some really great memes about drinking bleach. There's a Arnold Schwarzenegger meme about Pavelski's shots against the team. Like you could tell they were having a lot of misery and angst and woe. And it was really entertaining. So kudos to you, Sabres fans, for hanging in there with your team and giving us all a little bit of entertainment to go with it.
Oh, my God. Dude, you have to admit, man, that hashtag was pretty bomb. I'll give it to you. It's like, really? Like, your goal song wasn't cool enough? You had to, like, bring along a bomb-ass hashtag? That was, you know, good on you, Sabres fans. So with that, we move on to the second star. And my second star of the week is the San Jose Sharks media department for upgrading their app, their phone app. If you have the Sharks app, they did some work on it. If you go back and listen to some earlier episodes of the Pucknologist, we did a couple interviews with John Tatora, and they talked about that was something that they were focused on. And they wanted to make it a good experience and easy to get around, whether you wanted to see a highlight, whether you wanted to know news, upgrade your seats, get your food credit, make it very easy for the fan. It was a good start, but this week they rolled out an update, and it's day and night difference. Much, much better, easier to find stuff. So Sharks Media Department, you get my second star of the week, Miss Backhander.
My second star is the piano man, Cobra Chris Tierney. I don't even know why. Listen to me. I don't even know why. It's just like, I thought he was like, yo, Chris Tierney. And I'm like, oh, you need some love. I'm going to die. No, I'm kidding. Chris has had himself a solid little game lately. Really doing nicely with the updates in the line since Hansen's been around, and because they moved things around and he has different people around him now, doesn't he?
Yeah, Carlson. He's playing with Haley and Sorensen.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. I keep thinking he's on that third line sometimes. Haley, Sorensen, and Tierney are, yeah, part of that fourth line powerhouse. And it's like, if you want to look in that room to see who you should look to for like your depth production guys and like your heart guys, it just seems like that's the fourth line. They're not bad. They're your workaholics. They're the people who want to dot their I's and cross their T's and you know, talk about stuff and do the boring things, but the important things. That's what I like about them. And he also still skates like he has a piano on his back. That's what I love about Cobra.
Absolutely. And like I said, might have been the last show before, Rocket and I were at that game again, a preseason game against Vancouver, and I remember thinking, nope, Sorensen was highly touted, but no, he doesn't got it. Holy crap. That guy has worked on his game with the CUDA, and I like what he's bringing. So
it's a big adjustment to go from the European ice to the North American ice. I mean, a lot of us who were really high on Sorensen, and I was definitely in that camp, you know, it did come from lesser competition, and it didn't really kind of go off the rails until the competition got better. So, but definitely the time on the Barracuda and the work that he did down there has made him quite, you know, kind of the guy that we were expecting him to be when we were all ranting and raving about him preseason.
And with that, it's time for you to be the reasonable facsimile and put in your second star. Would you like to interject for Sorensen or pick somebody else?
No, actually, my second star of the week is Arundel. Because the theme of the week apparently is respect. Arundel's a guy who, you know, I tried not to let last night's game against the Blues overly sway my opinion on any stars this week. But when you look back at that game, the only bright spot was Arundel. So he's my second star of the week for that reason.
No, I'd be down with that. Yeah, he should have gotten a lot more support in that game. So we move on to the first star. And it goes to you, Miss Backhander.
Okay. So like I said, I have mine written down. And where my first star says is none other than Mr. Michael Haley. For all of
Haley getting a lot of love this week. I like
You know, I've given him accolades throughout the season just from what I've seen of his work ethic at practice and during games. He just is, he's a lot better of a player than he gets credit for. Like, he's not just a pair of mitts who can barely stand up and hold a stick. He's a good hockey player. He's not Sidney Crosby good, but he's good enough to be in the NHL good. So that needs to be, that needs to say something for him. And people need to stop ignoring that. Yeah.
I like it. Nobody's trying to hand him a cowbell. Ian Reed, your number one.
My number one star is Logan Couture, who is, in my opinion, as much as he might annoy me as a person at times, is the best forward. But he's the best center on this team. That despite second line,
despite his face-off percentage,
despite his occasional whininess, Logan Couture, hockey-wise, is still, in my opinion, the best center on this team. And that second line was fantastic when the Sharks were on. Obviously, again, trying not to take too much into the game against St. Louis. But based on the other games, that second line, as soon as Hansen came on and they put, you know, that second line together, it was great. It might have been the best line on the team for two or three games straight. So I'm going to go with Logan Couture because he is a big part of that.
Absolutely. And my number one star of the week, how can you go anywhere else but Joe Pavelski? I like, what, 6 points in four games, four goals. I mean, the guy just put up a phenomenal week, was number one on NHL.com for stars of the week. Dude just had a phenomenal week, especially when the Sharks really seemed to need it. So, Jopa, little Joe, I don't care if they call you that or not, you are my number one star of the week. You had a hell of a week there, buddy. So if you were named one of our three stars of the week.
Oh, good for you.
And of course, it's now that time where we all get a little closer to the campfire and listen in and hear that noise we all love so much. That's right. It's time for Around the Horn. And I have to be honest with you, people. I did not prepare for this week. I have nothing for Around the Horn. There was literally nothing that really, like, stood out that was like, oh, okay, this guy got suspended for two games. Shattenkirk got suspended for two games. I think we covered that last week. I mean, honestly, the biggest story that came out since the last time we were with you was, like, Gary Bettman and something about the 2018 Winter Olympics and blah, blah, blah.
The song remains the same on. It's just... Yeah, the song just remains the same in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was literally nothing with that. It was, what is it, like the Islanders are going to play an outdoor game next year against the Senators or something. I mean, like, honestly, nobody cares. Around the Horn, like, I wish I had a sound effect where it would, it wasn't, you know, it was.
No, you know what it was? It was that half fired air horn that Joel Ward has at the end of that commercial.
Absolutely. I mean, it was just so.
Yeah. There's, so, it's really a quiet week. Nothing much going on.
It really was. Other than Ian Reed being told he's wrong on NBC and other outlets.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, okay, let's.
Uh-oh, here we go.
That's not 100% accurate. Now, here's what happened. So here's what happened. Recently, there was a thing came out about a Sharks prospect named Rudolph Balcer. CAJ, even come on your show and talk prospects. That's what happens.
Hey now.
And basically, it said, like, it was a report that came out of a Kamloops paper that was picked up by NBC that said that they had to sign him. So
you know, we have a chat, and there was someone came into the chat, I believe it was Gentry, and said, why haven't we signed this guy yet? And I'm like, I don't think we have to, because he's, you know, he was drafted while he was in Europe. But then when he showed me the NBC article, I'm like, well, okay, now there's a, you know, I basically second guessed myself, because it was, you know, NBC's the rights holder for the NHL. You would think they would know
and it's what the they're talking thing about.
Right. So I second guessed myself, and I put out an article, which I basically just gave my opinion on it and, you know, played devil's advocate, and it was all fine. Then I got an email, I can't go sources or anything, unfortunately, but I got an email that basically set me straight. Yeah. That basically set me straight. Donald Trump was very kind about this. I didn't know he was a hockey fan, but, he told me, he set me straight, and,
Things that you were hearing. I'm hearing.
I think it was the ghost of Rob Ford.
Because I know he's the ghost of Rob Ford.
Yeah.
He was on the Hockey Hall of Fame somewhere. He was doing something in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Well, that's fantastic. So there you go, kids. That was Around the Horn. Hope you enjoyed it.
3-hour tour.
There we go. So we go on to previews and predictions now. Obviously, as I stated earlier in the program, unfortunately, I was, I'm not going to make a BS cover or anything. I wasn't feeling well on Wednesday when we normally record this. So we had an extra game in there, St. Louis. Normally, you would have heard about it, St. Louis, next week, but we didn't. So what that means, though, is that we did not do St. Louis in our previews and predictions. So here we go. We're going to recap the last week, and we'll go into the first week. So going into the last week, we have Washington, Nashville, Dallas, and Buffalo. Like I said, unfortunately, St. Louis was not involved in this, so everybody gets a point for that. So nobody feels like a loser. So Washington... the Sharks won that game 4-2, and Rocket hit it spot on. She predicted a 4-2 win. Hockey Jared said 3-2 win. I said 4-1 loss. I had no faith in this one. But Rocket gets a point for hitting that one against Nashville. Hockey Jerk really talking, I don't know how drunk he was, how deep into the bottle. He said 5-0 shutout win against Nashville. We know that it was a 3-1 loss. Rocket said 3-2 win. I said 3-2 win. We got close. I could say half a point, but nah, forget it. Nobody gets a point that week. It was just horrible against Nashville. The following game, Dallas. 5-1 win. Hockey Jerk said 3-1 loss. Rocket said 2-1 win in overtime. I said 4-1 win. And I also said that Dell would start this game, which he did. So I was closest. So I get a point on that one. And then Buffalo. Hockey Jerk said 2-1 shootout win. Rocket said 2-0 loss. I said 3-1 win. It was a 4-1 loss. I don't know that anybody can get one in that. I mean, I came closest to either way. Nobody won. Let's just put it that way. Nobody won right? That way.
Nobody won.
Yeah. Nobody. It was a bad week on, on picks and predictions. So we're going to try over, because that's the glory of hockey, kids. So with this one, we have versus Anaheim, at Dallas, at Minnesota. Rocket, I will start with you versus Anaheim. Your call.
Oh, Anaheim. Are they winning or are they losing? They're winning, right?
They're doing okay. They're battling. I mean, they're right behind the Sharks, but when I say right behind, the Sharks right now 91 points, Anaheim 84, Edmonton 83, Calgary 82. So it's basically the Sharks have the top seed in the Pacific sewn up. It's just that battle for the 2-3 spot.
All right.
And I should probably say, for your benefit, Anaheim on a 2-game winning streak, 6-4 in their last 10.
Well, this doesn't make anything easier. Okay, so one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to explain both of them to you, and then I'll tell you which one.
The Sharks will win or the Sharks will lose? That's one of the two things that will happen.
Yes, but there are two different scenarios in which this will happen. Number one, the Sharks will win 3-1 after some sort of heinous turnover in the second period. Like there'll be some sort of like retracted goal or something that will change the momentum of the game and that will allow that 2-goal lead. Or they San Jose Sharks will lose 2-3 in the shootout.
No. We're carving if, this in stone. No.
If that second period event does not happen, then they will go on a losing shootout.
No.
No, we're carving that's this I'm in stone. That's it. No.
I need win or loss with the score. Oh, carve it in stone.
Okay. They've had a night off. The last game is sort of crappy, so they're going to be out for redemption a little bit. I'm going to say that something's going to go weird in the third period, the second period, and the Sharks are going to win 3-1.
3-1 win.
I talked to Miss Cleto. That's what she told me.
Second period shenanigans. Okay. Reasonable facsimile, your pick on Anaheim.
I'm going to go 4-2 win. Sharks have generally bounced back after bad games this year. Anaheim's a team that they always get up for. I think they'll win.
I feel that too. I'm going a little off the beaten path. I'm going to go 2-1 overtime win. So, because it could be interesting. Okay, and reasonable facsimile at Dallas. That's right. The Sharks start a 4-game roadie at the team that likes to pay their mediocre goalies elite money.
I'm going to go with a 3-0 win with a shutout for Mr. Aaron Dell.
Oh, my God. That is awesome. And funnily enough, that is literally exactly what I have written down on my scorecard as well. Rocket at Dallas.
I'm just going to just pull the pin out of it and let it go. 7-0 San Jose.
Oh, I love that. So Rocket just going, I'm going for extra point, like extra homework.
Pull the pin, let it go.
I like it. And finally, at Minnesota, and I think we all remember the last time the Sharks played at Minnesota just over a week and a half ago, it was not a good game. So, Rocket, what do you say the Sharks do this time?
I think it's going to be 5-3 San Jose loss.
Ooh.
That 5 is going to be an empty netter.
I can feel that. Ian Reed.
I have a 2-1 win over Minnesota. I think that this is a team that they're going to have to play in the playoffs. I think they're going to learn some stuff. They're going to have some tape to watch from the last time they played, and they're going to make some corrections.
Nice. I actually penciled in a 3-2 loss for the Sharks, and I do think it's going to be one of those ones where it's 2-2 for a pretty decent amount of time, probably 2-2 going into the third, and Minnesota gets some weird fluky goal or something weird happens in the last 4 minutes, and that ends up being the game winner. So there you go. As we say, well, I don't know that I've ever said it, but we're going to say it this time. Do us a favor. This is not legal, so please, no wagering unless we get paid out on it. Then it's all
right. That's right. Yeah.
I work in barter, like non-cash items.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, yeah, that always works. Yeah. That always works.
Garbage Pail Kids.
Nice.
So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we're finished. That was show 21. We hope you enjoyed it. I still go back to what Scotty Nichol. Whenever I hear 21, I always just kind of go Scotty Nichol. Maybe that's because that was Brody's bro. I don't know. Tony Granato, Jim Fahey, it doesn't even matter. Do us a favor. Follow us on Twitter at Pucknologists. And if you're listening to us on any type of podcast platform, do us a favor. Just hit the little like button. It's right there. It's so easy to do. SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn. It doesn't matter. It's just that little button. You just go and boom. You've touched it and you've subscribed. And you hear the amazing pontifications we have every week, and you get a notification. What can be better than that, right?
So, and you get everything, too.
That's what I'm saying. And you it's not only us, kids. There's Pucknology After Dark. There's Pucknology Writer's Room. There's all sorts of things happening on this channel. You're missing out if you're not subscribing. Mm-hmm. So hit that button. And other than that, we're out of here. And we will see you all. We will infect your gorgeous ears in about a week from now after the Sharks play Anaheim, Dallas, and Minnesota. So thanks for tuning in, and we will see you all next time.